ॐ नमो देवाय ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वतदेव गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण। सो इट्स माय ऑनर एंड प्रिविलेज टू बी हियर सिटिंग एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ श्री श्री राधा वल्लभ जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु नित्यानंद प्रभु एंड प्रभुपाद in this most beautiful Mahaprabhu Mandir here in Melbourne. I really want to thank Shukdev Prabhu for kindly engaging me in this service. And before I begin, I want to bow down and take blessings from Her Grace Narayani Mataji here. I have never felt so nervous before. I don't know what I'm going to speak. In fact, when you entered the temple hall, my mind was thinking, well, it would be nice if Mataji could sit here and I could swap places and listen. But it seems like today is my service and I have to do that with responsibility. So please kindly bless me so that the right words come at the right time in the right spirit, the glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam and the purification of myself. Please, everybody, accept my humble obeisances. One shakal patano bhyascha kripa sindhu bhyai vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So, what's the number? 40. Chapter 7, text 40. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, Text 40. Brahmovacha, Namaste Shritasattvaya, Namaste Shritasattvaya,
Namaste Shritasattvaya,
धर्मादीनां च सूतये धर्मादीनां च सूतये निर्गुणाय च यत्काष्ठां निर्गुणाय च यत्काष्ठां नाहं वेदापरेऽपि च Brahma, the personified Vedas, Uvacha said, Namaha, respectful obeisances, Te unto you, Shritasattvaya, the shelter of the quality of goodness. Dharma adinam, of all religion, austerity and penance. Cha and sutaye, the source. Nirgunaya, transcendental to material qualities. Cha and yat, of whom? Of the Supreme Lord. Kashtam, the situation. Na, not. Aham, I. Veda, no. Apare, others. Api, certainly. Cha, and. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation to this verse. The personified Veda said, "We offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Lord, the shelter of the quality of goodness, and therefore the source of all religion, austerity, and penance. For you are transcendental to all material qualities, and no one knows you or your actual situation." Please kindly repeat. The personified Veda said,
"The personified Veda said,
we offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the Lord, the shelter of the quality of goodness, and therefore the source of all religion, austerity and penance. For you are transcendental to all material qualities, and no one knows you or your actual situation." Purport. In the material world, there is the trinity of the three material qualities. Lord Vishnu has accepted the superintendence of the quality of goodness, which is the source of religion, knowledge, austerity, renunciation, opulence, etc. Because of this, actual peace, prosperity, knowledge, and religion can be attained when the living entities are under the control of the quality of goodness in the material world. As soon as they are subjected to the control of the other two qualities, namely passion and ignorance, their precarious conditional life becomes intolerable. But Lord Vishnu, in his original position, is always nirguna, which means transcendental to these material qualities. Guna means quality and nir means negation. This does not indicate, however, that he has no qualities. He has transcendental qualities by which he appears and manifests his pastimes. The positive transcendental qualitative manifestation is unknown to the students of the Vedas as well as the great stalwart demigods like Brahma and Shiva. Actually, the transcendental qualities are manifested only to the devotees. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, simply by discharging devotional service, one can understand the transcendental position of the Supreme Lord. Those who are in the mode of goodness can partially enter into the transcendental understanding, but it is advised in Bhagavad Gita that one has to surpass this. The Vedic principles are based on the three qualities of the material modes. One has to transcend the three qualities, and then one can be situated in pure and simple spiritual life. Where should this be placed? Shrunvatam shraddhaya nityam grinhatam cha svacheshtitam kalena na ati dirghena bhagavan vishate ridhi. The second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes Shrunvatam shraddhaya nityam. Just by this practice of hearing, Shrunvatam, and with the mood of Shraddhaya, with faith, and how regularly? Nityam. Now, Nityam means eternally, but Srila Vishnu Chakravarti comments by saying Nityam means at least once a day. So, Shrunvatam, hearing, Shraddhaya, with faith, Nityam, at least once a day. This Srimad Bhagavatam. And grinhatam cha svacheshtitam, hearing with faith every day and absorbing these principles in our activities, daily activities. What happens? Kalena, with time. How far is it going to be? Really soon, or is it going to be in the future? Na ati dirghena. Dirgha means in the future. Ati dirgha means really in the future. Na ati dirghena, which means very quickly. Kalena na ati dirghena, which means very quickly as far as time is concerned. For anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam with faith once a day at least and absorbs that in one's activities, for such a person very quickly, Bhagavan Vishate Ridhi, the Supreme Lord makes the heart of the listener his eternal seat. He resides there. So this is a blessing in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has promised that he would make his residence in the heart of the listener. And therefore, Srila Sanatana Goswami, when he would walk around as a mendicant, it was very difficult for him to carry the 18 volume 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, because he hardly had any possession in this world. He would just have a kopan and one cloth and chanting beads and neck beads, that's all. So that Sanatana Goswami, he prays to the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, O Srimad Bhagavatam, ha na muncha kadachin mam premna ritkanthayos puraha. He says, O Srimad Bhagavatam, you are such a person that ati nicha uccha taraka. Anyone who studies you, even if they are the most fallen, it is your duty to make them the highest person. Ati nicha uccha taraka. Nicha means fallen, and uccha means top class, and taraka means to uplift. Anyone who studies Srimad Bhagavatam, even if he is the most fallen person, ati nicha, Srimad Bhagavatam takes that onus on his own shoulder to make that person elevated. And therefore Sanatana Goswami says, ha, oh. Ha ha in Sanskrit means the exact opposite of ha ha in English. In English, ha ha is laughter. In Sanskrit, ha ha means alas, alas. So ha na muncha kadachin mam. O Srimad Bhagavatam, please promise me that you will never leave me. Because I have to give up this book. I cannot carry it every day, everywhere, Sanatana Goswami is thinking. So he says, if these 18,000 verses reside in my heart and my throat, wherever I move, I can just pull them out and fall in ecstasy. So therefore he says, even if I give up my body, O Srimad Bhagavatam, please promise me that you will never leave me. You will never give up on my case. So that Srimad Bhagavatam, which is of paramount importance to uplift our consciousness, was presented to this world in the English language for the first time by Srila Prabhupada. It was found in so many other vernacular languages, but to make it available to the whole world in one common language that everybody can study, read and get benefited, the world will eternally be indebted to Srila Prabhupada. Because that nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam was never given before in English that Srila Prabhupada gave. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is Mahapuran. Mahapuran is that Puran which talks about 10 subject matters. Puranas generally consider and cover from 3 to 6 subject matters. But a Puran gets classified as a Mahapuran when 10 subject matters are discussed. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam uthaya manvantara ishanukatha nirodha muktim ashraya. What are the 10 subject matters? Atra sarga. Sarga means primary creation. Visarga, secondary creation. Sthanam, different planetary positions and different beautiful manifestations of the Supreme Lord's creation. Poshanam, how he nourishes personally. Utaya, uti means inner nature, how to attain, you know, divine nature and how to stay away from demoniac nature, uti. Manvantara, the life and the different reigns of different Manu, And what are the different incarnations which appear in that lifespan of Manu? Ishanukatha, general classification of different incarnations. Nirodha, how to uproot anarthas from the heart. Mukti, how to get liberated from repeated birth and death. And Ashraya, how to be sheltered at the lotus feet of Krishna. Any Puran which talks about these 10 subject matters gets classified as Mahapuran. And interestingly, Srimad Bhagavatam talks about all of these 10 subject matters, one canto per topic. So first two cantos are called as Adhikar Leela, or the foundational base on which these 10 subject matters can be built on. So first two cantos are the base to the whole structure. Canto 3 talks about Sarga, creation. Canto 4, Visarga, which we are studying, secondary creation. Canto 5, Sthanam, different planetary positions. So we find in Canto 5, different planets and different hellish conditions are also described. Canto 6, Poshanam, how the Supreme Lord intervenes and nourishes His devotees. In the example of Ajamil, the Lord is nourishing as His holy name. Then in Canto 6 again we find the story of Vritrasur, how time and again the Supreme Lord is manifesting and helping Indra, and then helping Vritrasur. So Poshanam. Canto 7, Utaya, inner nature. So two personalities with opposite nature come face to face in Canto 7. Divine nature of Prahlad and demoniac nature of Hiranyakashipu. Canto 8, Manvantara, where the pastime of Gajendra is described. Chapter 1 of Canto 8 describes the different kings and the different dynasties. And then from Canto 2, the story of Gajendra begins. Canto 9, Ishanukatha, different incarnations of the Lord. So Parashuram is described, Ram is described. Canto 10, Nirodha. Nirodha means uproot, to completely uproot, to remove from the root, from the base. Like yoga is described as chitta vritti nirodha. Chitta means our consciousness. And vritti or pravritti means our proclivity, our inclination, our tendency. Chitta vritti nirodha, that consciousness which is completely materially contaminated, to completely uproot that contamination is considered to be yoga. Chitta vritti nirodha. So that Nirodha happens by hearing the 10th canto, the pastimes of Krishna. We find in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Chaitanya Shikshamrita how different demons, those who are killed by Krishna, are all mapped corresponding to different anarthas in our heart. Like Putana represents pseudo guru, and Dhenukasura represents ignorance or avidya. So when Krishna and Balaram destroy those demons, by hearing those pastimes, specific pastimes, those specific demon-like anarthas in our heart get destroyed. So Nirodha. Canto 11, the discussion between Krishna and Uddhava, Uddhav Geet, Mukti Pradayak. By studying that, one gets liberated from material existence. And we find in Canto 12, how it ends with Nama Sankirtanam Yasya, Sarva Papa Pranashanam, Pranamo Dukha Shamanas Tam Namami Harim Param. The last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, that the holy name of Krishna or Vishnu is so powerful that it can destroy all offenses and all sins and completely uproot all our sorrow. So Ashraya, taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna through the process of hearing as Parikshit Maharaj and chanting Krishna's names. So in this way the Srimad Bhagavatam maps through 12 cantos. First two cantos as the base, and then 10 subject matters are built on. So it's called Granthraj. It's the king of all literature. Very, very power potent. Because other literatures, even in the sense of goodness, passion and ignorance, they deal with different subject matters. Like in India, you go to any bookstore, the most attractive section for 90% of the readers are the books on Kama Sutra. All the romantic stuff. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha. So kama sutras are also part of the kama The four material goals. But then they deal with only happiness in the lower part of the body. But the Arthashastras are higher, because they teach us not just how to be personally happy, but how to be happy as a community with wealth, Artha, as a city, how to rule, etc., how to get the finance together. Higher than that are the Dharma Shastras, the Niti Shastras, because they deal with the upper part of the body. How to bring in ethics, how to bring in one slowly but surely to the platform of goodness. Then higher than the Dharma Shastras are Moksha Shastras, which teach us how to get liberated from repeated birth and death. But all four have nothing to do with Sri Krishna. They have nothing to do with our inner nature. They just try to deal with giving pleasure to different parts of our body. The Kama Sutras of the lower part of the body, Artha Shastras in the middle part of the body, how to get good food. Then you have the Dharma Shastras on the upper part of the body, and Moksha Shastras, how to get out of the body. But nobody talks about who we are and what our connection with the creator of this universe is. So therefore, higher than the Kama Sutras are the Artha Shastras, higher than the Artha Shastras are the Dharma Shastras, higher than the Dharma Shastras are the Moksha Shastras, but then higher than all of that are the Bhakti Shastras, which teach about devotion. And among all Bhakti Shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam reigns as the crown on the top. And hence, very beautifully, it is described as Granth Raj. So what good fortune to be in the human form of life and get to study that Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the topmost literature in the ocean of Vedic wisdom. And that which is a Mahapuran, which deals with all the 10 subject matters. So that introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, we get to this verse, so that we can respect and understand what we are reading. So, as we have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in this section, the very famous sacrifice of Daksha Prajapati is being described. This is the discussion between Maitreya and Vidura. And in this chapter till now, we have seen how, due to envy in his heart, Daksha was punished. In fact, demigods were also punished. Some of them had limbs taken away, some had ears taken away, some had mouth taken away, some had faces taken away. But what about Daksha? What did Lord Shiva take away from his body? The head. The total head. And what head did he put on the top? A goat head. So scientists are trying for the first ever head transplant in this world. Now, in 2018, they have a target of minimum $30 million just to start this project, of having the first ever human head transplant. Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto talks about a head transplant. Srila Prabhupada would say, you study Srimad Bhagavatam, everything is in here. You can study and learn everything. So Lord Shiva performs the first ever head transplant. It's just laser. You don't need any other anesthesia, nothing. Just the head is, first of all, burnt to ashes. Daksha Prajapati is fallen onto the ground. This is a very significant point. Daksha represents envy. And there is no way we can dovetail envy in Krishna's service. Kama Krishnarpane Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. You can employ lust in Krishna's service, Narottam Das Thakur writes. And Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane, we can employ anger in Krishna's service, like Hanuman did, setting the whole city of Lanka on fire. We can even use greed in Krishna's service by being greedy to hear and chant. In the Padyavali, Rupa Goswami describes a very beautiful verse. Let us chant. Vicheyani vicharyani,
vicheyani vicharyani,
vichintyani puna puna,
vichintyani puna puna,
kripanasya dhananiva,
kripanasya dhananiva,
vannamani bhavantume. A classic case of using greed in Krishna's service. He says, vicheyani, vicharyani, vichintyani. Three words. To collect, to count, and to remember. To collect, to count, and to remember. Vicheyani, vichanyani, vichintyani, puna puna, again and again. Kripana, a miser person. Kripanasya dhanani va tvannamani bhavantume. My Lord, just like a miser stricken person, he collects, counts, and remembers his money again and again. Is it not? We collect money, we count again and again. If there's an envelope with money, with cash, we go once, then we go again, just to make sure we don't stick through bills. And then we put it back, and then some more cash comes in, and we put it again, and again we count, and we remember how much money was there previously. So, vicheyani, vicharyani, vichintyani. Just like a miser keeps collecting, counting, and remembering money again and again, my Lord, similarly let me collect, count, and remember your holy names. Collecting the holy names, counting the holy names, sankhya purvaka nama gana nativi, and to remember. So this is employing and using greed in Krishna's service. But how do we use envy in Krishna's service? Well, we just destroy envy. We find in the Ramayana how Hanuman, when he was crossing over the ocean to find the specific herb for Lakshman, he had a sea monster by the name Surasa. And this Surasa was fascinating. Because Hanuman was flying, and suddenly at a point he got stuck. He couldn't move ahead, he couldn't move behind. He was just completely stuck. And he couldn't see anyone there. So then he looked down, and there was a sea monster who had caught Hanuman through his reflection, through his shadow on the water surface. He had caught that. So Hanuman couldn't move. So this Surasa, sea monster, represented catching people by their shadow, by their faults. Instead of seeing that Hanuman is flying, Surasa wants to see, well, the shadow is black, and catch the shadow. So what did Hanuman do? How did he deal with Surasa, who represents envy, who is ever enthusiastic to catch others' shadow-like faults? Well, Hanuman just tore open Surasa. Just tore open the body of the sea monster and killed completely. And as the message Valmiki writes, this represents overcoming our inner fault of fault finding due to envy and just destroy it completely. So we sometimes say envy means envy. No vacancy in Golok Vrindavan. Envy means envy. No vacancy. So here Daksha is described to be somebody who is envious of Lord Shiva. And what does Lord Shiva do? Just burn his head to ashes and put a goat head. Which means just destroy. There's no way that can be used like that. After that, after the demigods are also punished, Lord Shiva punishes Daksha. Then Bhrigu Muni, he takes all the demigods, headed by Shiva and Brahma, to the sacrificial arena. And when they're taken there, the sacrifice is being performed, Daksha wakes up. And Srimad Bhagavatam describes, now being purified, his head being, a new head being given, and the old envious thought process gone, Daksha's heart was like a dirty pond cleansed by the autumn rain. So the mercy of Lord Shiva in the form of destruction was as soothing as the rain, because it removed the pollution of envy. And Daksha wakes up, and with prayers he offers respect to Lord Shiva. Now this is also a very significant lesson. Sometimes we may think, how can that devotee do that to me? He's a senior Vaishnava. How can he burn my head to ashes? How can he give me a goat head? How can he do anything good by destruction?
Right? How can he do good by destruction? It's impossible.
But the lesson here is that whatever Krishna and his pure Vaishnavas, pure representative do, whether it's a slap or whether it's an embrace, it's simply a form of mercy. Like in the Damodar Leela, Shripad Sanatan Goswami in his commentary writes a very beautiful point. He says, Manigriva and Nala Kuvera were bound up by Narad Muni. Was that mercy?
Yes.
Manigriva and Nala Kuvera were bound up completely in the tree form by Narad Muni. And they were liberated by Krishna. Was that mercy?
Yes.
So is binding mercy or is liberating mercy?
Both.
Because it's coming from either Krishna or his pure Vaishnava Narad Muni. So the way it comes may not matter. Sometimes it may be very heavy on us. Sometimes it may be very smooth. Vajradapi kathoram, kusumadapi sukomalam. Sometimes it can be soft as a lotus. Prabhu, I think you should do it like this. Oh, Mataji, I think you should do it like this. It's very soft and soothing. And sometimes, how can you do this? It's impossible. Guru means heavy. Sadhu means he who cuts. He who cuts the knots in our heart. So, maybe very, very heavy. But either way, whether it's binding or whether it's liberating, whether it's soft words or whether it's really heavy cutting words, one thing is for sure, it's a form of mercy. Shripad Sanatan Goswami goes ahead and says it's not just mercy, it's mercy due to love. Selfless compassion. In the material sense, we get angry at someone because they come in the way to our path of enjoying something. I want something and somebody comes and blocks my enjoyment, so I get angry. But in the spiritual sense, it is selfless. It is for that soul's upliftment. Example again, Damodar Leela. Our acharyas described Mother Yashoda bound up Krishna. Was that love? Nanda Maharaj liberated Krishna. Was that love?
Yes.
So is binding Krishna love or is liberating Krishna love?
Both.
Because Nanda and Yashoda are pure Vaishnavas. So whatever comes from the heart of Krishna and pure Vaishnavas, it's always out of mercy. So here Daksha Prajapati, who's in tears and offering prayers to Lord Shiva in gratitude, he understands that principle. That it's not that because my head was destroyed, it's bad for me. Or that there was a crown placed on my head, so it's good for me. Srimad Bhagavatam describes, if there's a turban on the head, which stops a person from surrendering to Krishna, then that turban is not good. It's weight, it's like stone on the neck into an ocean. It's just forcing us to drown. So sometimes in this world we make it crowns and turbans. But if it's coming from people who are selfish, then it's not good. But if it's coming from people who are pure representatives of Krishna or coming straight from Krishna, then it's either way it comes, it's good for us. In this regard, I remember how in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a very beautiful term used for Krishna. The term used is Adbhuta Charitam. Adbhuta Charitam. Which means Krishna, whatever he performs, it's only and only pure. Like the sun. The sun purifies, evaporates water and urine equally. The sun evaporates urine. And what happens? The urine is gone, the place is pure, and does the sun become contaminated?
No.
So three things happen. When the sun rises, the urinated place becomes clean, the urine is gone, the place is no longer stinking, it's clean, and yet the sun remains as pure as before. The urine doesn't stick onto the sun. Like you take a fresh cloth, and you clean something on the floor. You take 3 cups of dal and it's spilt on the floor. You take a fresh cloth and you clean it. The floor becomes clean, but the cloth becomes dirty. But with Krishna, like the sun, when he evaporates even a place filled with urine, the place becomes pure and Krishna remains pure. It's not that the urine goes and sticks to the sun. So this is Adbhuta Charitam. Whatever Krishna performs, wherever he performs, the sin goes away,
The person becomes pure and Krishna remains transcendental. The sin doesn't come onto Krishna's body. And Krishna's planning is always perfect. Like we find in the pastime of Kaliya. Shaubhari Muni has his plan. What is Shaubhari Muni's plan? I want to take side with the fishes. They are my friends. Garuda, this Garuda is eating these fishes. Therefore, O Garuda, I curse you. Next time you touch the water of the Yamuna, you will be gone. This will not be good to you. This will not do good to you. You cannot touch the water. Why did he do that? To protect the fishes. But as a result, what happened? Garuda went, but Kaliya came. Garuda would eat the fishes and they would get liberated. But now what happened? Shaubhari Muni, he stopped a pure Vaishnava from taking his share, cursed the Vaishnava. Shaubhari Muni fell down. The fishes whom he wanted to protect, seeing those fishes mate, he fell down. He went, married 50 daughters of King Mandata. He left, the fishes were there, unprotected. Kaliya came, ate all the fishes. And made the water impure, and drinking which the Brajavasis suffered. So did Shaubhari Muni's planning do any good? No. But Krishna's planning is perfect. He protects his friends from the water of Kaliya by his glance. He protects his friends and the residents of Vrindavan from the water through his glance. Protects the water of Yamuna by driving Kaliya out. So he's protecting his friends from the water, protecting the water from Kaliya, and then protects Kaliya from Garuda. Adbhuta charitam. Kasyanu bhavo syana deva vidmahe tavangri renor svarashadikara. The Nagapatnis are saying, Krishna, your plan is perfect. Whatever you do is good. Because you're not taking side of one against the other. In this world, we protect the innocent and we want to reprimand and chastise the accused. But Krishna, he takes sides of everyone. He protects his friend from the poisonous water of Yamuna, protects the water of Yamuna from Kaliya, and then Kaliya, you should leave. Hey, my lord, where will I go? If I go, your Garuda will eat me. So he calls Krishna Garuda Dvaja in that passage. So beautiful. Every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is so beautifully spoken. He says, O Krishna, O he who rides on the Garuda, please save me from the Garuda, from the bird. So Krishna says, no problem. Let me take my expert stamp. Like you see government officials in Mumbai, in India, they have many papers to stamp. So they go like this. Where did they get the idea from? From Krishna. Every hood of Kaliya, through his dancing, he's giving his stamp, the stamp of the Supreme Lord on every hood. So, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, Krishna is the source of everything. So government officials also get their idea from Krishna. So he protected the friends from the water, water from Kaliya, and then Kaliya from Garuda. This is Adbhuta Charitam. So whatever Krishna plans and whatever his pure devotees plan, like Srila Prabhupada, always perfect. So here Daksha is ready to understand that philosophy, that Siddhanta, that because it's coming through a pure Vaishnava, Lord Shiva, who's the Tamas Guna avatar of the Supreme Lord, therefore this is good for me. This is indeed good for me. Srila Prabhupada, time and again, hammering, but doing good to the disciple. Like he asked Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj, what happened to the Bhagavatam in Oriya? I had given you the task of translating Bhagavatam into Oriya. What happened? Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, well, I'm all alone in this temple. I have to worship the deities also. I have to do the administration also. I have to take care of guests also. Where will I get time to translate? Prabhupada said, no, you should just translate Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't worry. Guru Govinda Maharaj said, then who will take care of the temple? One devotee from New York City was just visiting Bhubaneswar. And he was walking the other side.
Prabhupada looked from behind and said, he will manage.
Srila Gauragovinda Maharaj said, I don't even know who he is. Prabhupada said, don't worry, I know.
He called him. Yes, Prabhupada, how can I serve you? Well, just be here and take care of the temple. So now that was too heavy for him. He said, well, Prabhupada, I have my flight booked to New York City back tomorrow. Prabhupada said, don't worry, I'll cancel the ticket. Said, Prabhupada, they have set up a department there for me. If I don't go, what will happen? Prabhupada said, I'll employ somebody else. You don't worry. Some other Vaishnava will take care of the department. You be here. Prabhupada, the temperature here is too hot. It doesn't suit my body. Prabhupada said, stay longer. It will start suiting you. Prabhupada, the water here doesn't suit my body. I get diarrhea and my body fails. I don't have medicines. Prabhupada said, I had a drugstore previously. I'll give you the list of all medicines that you need. Don't worry. Prabhupada, but I don't even know how to cook proper Indian food. Prabhupada said, I'll give you a recipe book of my personal recipes. Just copy and then you'll learn. He said, Prabhupada, I have to be very honest with you. I don't get along with the GBC here. Prabhupada looked at him and said, don't worry, I'll change the GBC also. He didn't expect that coming from Prabhupada. So Prabhupada smiled and said, okay, I'll change that also. What next? So now he knew the game was up. So he thought of using his Brahmastra from the quiver that he has. He said, Prabhupada, if I'm in New York, I can sit and chant my rounds properly. If I'm here, I won't be able to chant my 16 rounds properly. He thought Prabhupada would say, oh yeah, that's a valid point. So go back to New York and do it. Prabhupada said, if you're serving here from Brahma Muhurta up to night, you don't have to chant your 16 rounds. Don't worry. Just work. He's thinking, what? By the way, this instruction of Prabhupada was given only to one person at only one time. It's not a public instruction. At one class I said this and one devotee was like, why didn't I hear this pastime the day I joined ISKCON? First day itself. But the essence of what Prabhupada was saying, because he's a pure Vaishnava, time, place, circumstance, he knows how to, you know, have things done. So then the devotee knew, well, nothing is going to work against a pure Vaishnava. I can't win this battle. So he said, Prabhupada, okay. Please tell me how I could serve you. Prabhupada said, I already told you, just stay here and manage the temple. So then he actually did it. He cancelled everything, stayed there, took care of Bhubaneswar temple. Gauragovinda Maharaj translated Bhagavatam. That's how the Oriya copy came out. So whatever a pure Vaishnav decides, like Lord Shiva decides, Daksha understands. Yes, this is good for me. That vision of seeing whatever comes through my guru, whatever comes through my superior is actually good and beneficial for me. Moving ahead in the discussion, after that, after Daksha wakes up and offers prayers, then all other personalities gather together and Daksha with their blessings decides of performing the yajna all over again. And this time under the guidance of Brahma, Shiva and other superiors, when he performs the yajna, Lord Vishnu manifests. Now interestingly, Shukdev Goswami, when he describes Lord Vishnu's appearance, he calls Vishnu as Adhokshaja. What is the name? Adhokshaja. Now it's very fascinating. Every time the Supreme Lord's mention is made in the Srimad Bhagavatam, a specific word is used. Specific word. Like when Krishna is entering the forest of Vrindavan, the name used for Krishna is Madhava. Why? Because Madhava represents the spring season. One of the meanings of the word Madhava. And just like after all the fall, now I'm from Minnesota, so I exactly know what fall and spring are as far as winter is concerned. It's so horrible. Before that I was in New England in Boston, and snow all through and all the leaves would fall to the ground and snow completely. And then during the spring season, the fresh leaves would come up. And you can see variegated color. Some are green, some are pink, some are yellow, some are reddish, and the whole city is lit up. So spring is very happy. It gives you a sense of happiness, because after seeing snow for about 5 months, and seeing no leaves, all trees just standing like this without leaves. Now you see trees filled with beautiful colored leaves and flowers, and no snow, and everything is so beautiful. So that's spring. So just like during the springtime, everything looks blossomed and happy. When Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan, Vrindavan looked happy like the spring season. So his name is Madhava. So when Vishnu appears in this pastime, the name given to Vishnu is Adhokshata. Why? Very, very specific. Srila Prabhupada, in one class, he was explaining the meaning of the word Adhokshata. He said the original Devanagari script, the Sanskrit script, starts with A, the letter A. Therefore, Krishna says, among the letters and the letter A, Aksharanam Akarosmi. It's the start. Srila Prabhupada explained the first letter in the Devanagari script is A, and the last official letter is Ksha. What is the first? And the last one is Ksha. So anything that can be formed by the permutation and combination of all these letters from A to Ksha is Akshaja. Akshaja. Ja means Janma, like Janmashtami. So anything that can appear as a word jugglery of letters starting from, alphabet starting from A and ending with Ksha is Akshaja. Ja means Janma or Janmashtami, appearance. And that personality who cannot be understood by any permutation and combination starting with letters from A to Ksha is not Akshaja but Adhokshaja. Who is beyond any material permutation combination of alphabets and letters. Cannot be understood. Jai Shishi Gaunitanga. Jai Shishi Radha Vallabh Ki. Jai Jagannath. Jai Baladev. Jai Subhadra Rani Ki. So that personality who cannot be understood by any permutation combination of any of these letters or any word jugglery is Adhokshaja. At the same time, when Vishnu appears, Shukdev Goswami uses two verses to describe his bodily beauty. How he is having beautiful weapons, how he has a very beautiful complexion, how he is wearing beautiful dhoti, how he is ornamented completely. So he is used as Adhokshaja in that context. Why? Because Adhokshaja, apart from the definition that we understood, there is one more meaning to this word. Adha means low, something at the bottom. Any words from Bhagavad Gita where we have the word Adha? Urdvamulam. Adha shakham. Roots are up and the branches are down. Similarly, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastva madhye tishthati rajasa jaganya gunavrittistha adho gacchanti tamasa. Those in the mode of goodness go upward. Those in the mode of passion stay here. Those in the mode of ignorance go down. Adha. So Adhokshaja is also a combination of Adha and Akshaja. Adha means down. Aksha means eyes. Aravindaksha, Pundarikaksha. Aksha means eyes. And Ja means Janma, generated, appeared. So all the pleasures and all the beauty that can be perceived through the Aksha is Akshaja, which means all the material beauty. But Krishna's beauty, Vishnu's beauty, it is so beautiful. He's so beautiful that the happiness perceived through the sense perception in this world, which is Akshaja, is pushed down. Adha. Make sense? The happiness which can be perceived through the eyes is called Akshaja Sukha. Happiness through the eyes. All the beauty in this world. But that is pushed down as insignificant in comparison to the beauty of the Lord. So pushed down or made insignificant means Adha. And Akshaja means happiness through the eyes. So Adhokshaja, Sri Krishna or Vishnu, is one who cannot be understood by any permutation and combination of words starting letters starting from A and Ksha. Yet he also means Adha Akshaja. He who through his beauty makes all other beauty seem insignificant. So that Vishnu manifests. So very beautifully, Srimad Bhagavatam describes words and names to the Lord at specific juncture. So at this point, Vishnu appears. And when the Supreme Lord appears, everyone offers prayers to him. Very fascinating. We discussed he cannot be understood, correct? By the first meaning of Adokshaja. We cannot understand him. But what are the demigods teaching us as an example? When he appeared, how are they understanding him? Through prayers. Brahma offers prayer. Lord Shiva offers prayer. Daksha Prajapati is offering prayer. His wife is offering prayer. Indra is offering prayer. Bhrigu Muni is offering prayer. And in that context, Brahma Uvacha, the personified Vedas here are offering prayers. So that's the context. The nectar flow of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas are offering prayer, saying that you are Nirgun. He Adokshaja, Sri Vishnu, you cannot be understood. Why? Our senses are material and he is transcendental. What is that very famous verse where we say transcendence cannot be caught in the purview of material senses? Any guess? Yes. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi na bhaved grahyam indriyai sevan mukhe hi jivado swayam eva spuratyada. Atha Shri Krishna Nam Adi na bhaved grahyam indriya. Srila Prabhupada would quote this verse, and in fact in purports extensively, Atha Shri Krishna Nam Adi, Atha Shri Krishna Nam Adi, coming from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, saying that Krishna, his form, his qualities, his pastimes cannot be caught by material vision. Na bhaved. But then how they can be caught? By serving through the tongue. And how are the personified Vedas serving? Through prayers. So this is a very, very important lesson. Lesson one from the class, that whatever comes through the mercy of pure Vaishnavas like Lord Shiva and Srila Prabhupada and Guru must be accepted for our good. Lesson two, Krishna is Adhokshaja. We cannot understand him. Yet he's so beautiful that he pushes all other happiness to the side. But lesson three, how can that transcendence be understood? Through offer, service offered through the tongue in the form of prayers. Srimad Bhagavatam, if we have a cross section through the themes in the 10 cantos, just filled with prayers. I'll tell you something very, very sad and very shameful about myself. When I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam previously, when I was about 14, 15 year old, whenever we would have, I would see the chapter on the prayers, I would just skip it. Because my mind would tell me, oh, it's the same thing, you are the creator, nobody can understand you, you are the source of everything, you permeate through the elements and... So I would think, oh, it's the same thing, why chant all this? Let me get to the substance. But then one senior Vaishnava in Mumbai temple, where I come from, Radharas Bihari temple, fortunately gave a class on the power of prayers. One very dear disciple of Prabhupada. And I was fortunate to sit through that class. And one positive point that sannyasi made was that he said, it's very difficult to remember Krishna. If we say, let me sit and remember Krishna, it's almost impossible. It's almost impossible to sit attentive through a Bhagavatam class. Yes? Thank you. Very difficult. And it's almost impossible to chant constantly. Kirtaniya sada. So Shravan out, Kirtan out, Smaran out. Pada sevanam, worshipping the deities, not all can. Archanam, deity worship. But there's one limb out of the nine limbs which all of us can perform, which is Vandanam, offering prayers.
Because the first five we have a tough time. The last three are almost impossible. Surrendering everything to Krishna. Sakhyam, having friendship with Krishna. It's like, cannot be understood. It's, at least in my limited understanding, it's impossible. It's very difficult to be a servant of the Lord. Or to speak on equal status. But one limb that all of us can relate to is Vandanam, offering prayers. And that's what the Vedic, the Vedas personified are teaching us in this verse. All the four Vedas put together, Rig, Sama, Atharva, Yajur, are standing here with folded palms and proclaiming with arms raised to all of us that if you have to approach Adhokshaja, Sri Vishnu, Sri Krishna, who cannot be understood, there's only one way that we are doing, offering prayers through glorification. And therefore Krishna is called, what is that word, name of Krishna, where he is glorified by the best poetry? Uttama Shloka. Uttama Shloka means the best verses are used for Krishna, or the other meaning, the verses used for Krishna are the best. Uttama Shloka. So Srimad Bhagavatam flows from one prayer to another. Canto 1, Chapter 8, Kunti's prayers. Canto 1, Chapter 9, Bhishma's prayers. Canto 2, Chatushloki. Canto 3, prayers of the unborn child in the womb. Such a beautiful section. The child in the womb is crying to Krishna, please help me. So the fascinating thing is these prayers are available. We can read them because fortunately, Srila Prabhupada has also given us the English version of the Sanskrit reading, like this. Because it's not that we have to learn the Sanskrit language. You can just read the English, Namaste Shrita Sattvaya, through the diacritics. So we know English, we can read the verses, we have time, we understand, we have the books that Prabhupada has given, we have the deities who are standing ready to hear our prayers, we have an environment, we can inspire each other to study these prayers. What is stopping all of us? Just one thing, our lack of determination. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is all in all, but to get that mood to chant with a prayerful mood, we need these prayers. So first canto, second canto, third canto, fourth canto, after this section we find the story of Dhruva flowing in. Very beautiful. Where Dhruva speaks about his personal prayers to Vishnu. Yonta pravishya mama vacham imam prasuktam sanjeeva yatyakhila shakti dharasvadhamna anyamscha hasta charana shravanatva gadin pranam namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. Such beautiful verses. Prabhupada has given us that nectar. Before the body falls to the ground in death, these verses should be on our tongue. So that Krishna, Radha Vallabha can be glorified. Every Sunday, we have to give an update of what are the verses we studied this week. Radha Vallabha is waiting. He is our master. Each one of us come, when we come in front of Radha Vallabha, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra and Gaur Nithai, Krishna, this is my update for this week. This set of verses I am studying. And I want to offer you this verse, this set of verses this week. Canto 5 verses. Canto 6, Ajamil is offering prayers. Kwachaham kitavah papam brahmagno nirapatrapa. Kwacha narayana iti etat bhagavan nama mangalam. He says, who am I? I am sinful. I am wretched. I am fallen. I am ashamed. I am shameful. Can we all relate to this? I am sinful. I am fallen. My Lord, I am a shame on the community. Yes? Then he says, Kocha Narayana iti etat bhagavan nama mangalam. If there's anything good in my life, it is only the name of Sri Narayan, Sri Krishna. So we can relate to all that. Then going ahead in Canto 6, we have the four beautiful prayers of Vritrasura for those who are writing down. Canto 6, Chapter 11, Text 24, 25, 26, 27. It's oftentimes considered the Chatushloki of Canto 6. Four prayers that Vritrasur chanted at the time of death. Is Vritrasur, Chitraketu Maharaj, a pure Vaishnava, great devotee? Yes? At the time of death, he's chanting these prayers, so should we also chant these prayers?
Yes.
Definitely we should. Going into Canto 7, Canto 7, Chapter 9, prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Narasingha Dev. What a wonderful section. Canto 8, chapter 2 and 3, Gajendra. Specifically chapter 3, text 2 to 29, 28 prayers of Gajendra. Is Gajendra a good devotee? Yes. Is the crocodile chewing into his flesh? Is he in pain? Physical, emotional pain? Is he remembering Krishna? Is the Supreme Lord coming for him? Has the Supreme Lord heard his prayers? Are those prayers available to us? Can we chant them? But are we chanting them? Durdaivam idrisham iha janina anuraga. My Lord, you have the chappan bhog made ready for me. Srila Prabhupada, you have kept all the ingredients of the plate ready for me. Unfortunately, I lack hunger in my stomach. Srila Prabhupada, you have given me all these prayers, but what to do? I love Netflix more than these prayers. You have Netflix here? The TV? All the different channels and cable?
Fox.
Yeah, the same thing. Different names. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda. Innumerable names. But the same thing. The same sense gratification. So people have time for Netflix to sit on the couch and watch TV. But the nectar that Prabhupada has given through prayers, we lack time and faith and determination. Then Canto 10 starts out with the prayers of demigods in the womb, to the womb of Devaki. Aruya kruchena padam padam adho gacchanti adho patanti. Prabhupada would quote the verses again and again. Vimukta maninas. Sometimes Prabhupada would just quote portions of the verse in the morning walks. It's just fantastic. There's a section of morning walks of Srila Prabhupada in Perth. I was listening to that when I was in Perth. I was thinking, Prabhupada spoke all this in this place? And just fantastic. Prabhupada would be asked a question and he would quote like a portion of a line from one of the prayers. And it's so ecstatic. Then after that, after Manigriva and Nalakuvera are delivered, what are they telling Damodar? Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam hastau chakarma sumanastava padayorna. My Lord, we are bound in this tree body. Please give us the benediction that lifetime after lifetime, our tongue just chants your name. And our ears just hear about you. Our hands just serve you. Our mind just thinks of you. Do we want that benediction? That next life, even if we are born in a different family, in a different culture, in a different country, in a different species, somehow or the other, our tongue should be moving Krishna Naam, our ears should hear Krishna Katha, our mind should remember Krishna, and our hand should have Krishna Seva. Do we all really want this? Are Manigriva and Nalakuvera wanting this? Is Damodar granting them? Yes. But what is the medium? Prayers. The personified Vedas are teaching us that. Praying. Vandana. They offered and Krishna benedicted them. Then going ahead, chapter 14, prayers of Brahma. Brahma is offering prayers. Chapter 31, gopis are offering prayers. So constant praying. Through the Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the theme, Vandana. The theme of praying to Krishna. But you know what is the most attractive thing? Apart from the Sanskrit verses, we also have a song equivalent. We have the song book with us. So along with our chanting beat bag, Srimad Bhagavatam and Seva to Hari, Guru and Vaishnav, we need two more things. We need prayers as part of our daily sadhana and singing bhajans from the Vaishnav song book. Because the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur are filled with this prayerful mood, but in a very simple, easy language. What better day than to start today being the appearance of Narottam Das Thakur? Today, as our offering to Narottam Das Thakur's lotus feet, we can take a vrat that, O Narottam Das Thakur, Mahashay, you have given such sweet songs. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given such sweet songs. Bhagavatam has such sweet verses. Today, I'll spend 15 minutes every day to just imbibe this mood. Amara jivana sada pape rata nahi ka punya ralesh. We are oftentimes told we have to chant in a humble mood. But here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, my Lord, my life is filled with sin. I have no trace of good qualities. So one Vaishnava was telling me during the study of Bhagavatam, he advised me that you should have a book where you write down all the mistakes that we have done in our life. All the aparad, all the sins. We write it down. We don't forget it. I did this to that Vaishnava. I committed this offense. I made this mistake. And write all of that. And then when you come in front of Krishna with that book, we say, look, my Lord, Amara jivana sada pape rata. My life is filled with sin. I'm not simply saying it through my tongue. I have the proof, the scanned copy of what I'm speaking. So the songs bring in that mood through kirtan. And the prayers bring in that mood through sadhana, proper recitation every day. So Narottam Das Thakur has given that mood of separation. Narottam Das Thakur manifested the generation after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed the Padma River with prema, Krishna prema. And he told the Padma River, very soon in the future, one great Vaishnav by the name Narottam will come. Please kindly give this prema to him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in ecstatic love would say, Naru, Naru, Naru. And this was even before Narottam Das Thakur had manifested. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew such a pure Vaishnava was going to advent. So when Narottam Das Thakur went to the Padma River to take his bath, it's described he was very dark in his complexion. But when he went to the Padma River and bathed, what happened? The water, the stream, water stream of Padma River embraced him tight. Because who was embracing? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Through ecstatic love, filled in the Padma River, he embraced Narottam Das Thakur to his chest. And he embraced him so tight that two things happened. In the heart of Narottam Das Thakur, ecstatic, shivering, trembling symptoms of love began. Heart to heart. Wireless communication. You see, we have wireless communication. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had wireless communication. From heart, he would send signals of divine love into the heart of Narottam Das Thakur. No tower, no antenna, no nothing. Just direct. And externally, Narottam Das Thakur became golden, molten golden complexion. Just like we know, when we get angry, our body turns. At least our eyes turn. Yeah, ask the person you get angry at. You know, he'll tell you, well, your Prabhu, your eyes are red. Yeah. So red represents anger. Similarly, gold represents pure love. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, golden. Radharani, golden. Narottam Das Thakur, imbued with that divine love, golden. Completely golden. I just want to say one past and then I'll stop. Is that okay? Will I have your permission? So Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu and Srinivas Acharya are the traya, the trio of our sampradaya. And I was hearing His Holiness Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj speak on this topic. And he said a very fascinating point which I had not heard before. He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Acharya performed their pastimes, manifest pastimes. Then they became unmanifest. But then they felt like coming back again. So through their power potency, all three of them manifested as Shyamananda, Narottam and Srinivas. Isn't that fascinating? He said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested as Srinivas Acharya. Advaita Acharya manifested as Shyamananda Prabhu. And Narottam Das Thakur was the manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu. When was Nityananda Prabhu's appearance? When is Narottam Das Thakur's appearance? After Nitai? Narottam. Like that. Similarly, he was saying how Rupa Goswami wrote his works and he was assisted by his... So Rupa Goswami's works are very rasic, very nectarian, flavorful. And his personal assistant and servant was Jiva Goswami, very pakka, you know, Tattva Siddhanta, Shastrik. So guru and disciple. And they wrote so many works, but then they had to go back. So they, after becoming unmanifest also, they felt, I could have done more. So they reincarnated again. Rupa Goswami reincarnated as Vishwanath Chakravarti. Isn't that fascinating? Like Shakti Avesh, of course, power potency. And therefore Vishwanath Chakravarti, also very flavorful, very tasty. And interestingly, Vishwanath Chakravarti comments on the works of Rupa Goswami. He's completing his previous work. So Rupa Goswami gives Laghu Bhagavatamrita, and Vishwanath Chakravarti gives Bhagavatamrita Kana. Rupa Goswami gives Ujjwal Neelamani, Vishwanath Chakravarti gives Ujjwal Neelamani Kiran, one ray of light. Rupa Goswami gives Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, ocean. Vishwanath Chakravarti gives Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, bindu, drop. Like that. And who was his disciple? Baldev Vidya Bhushan. Like Jiva Goswami, pakka, Tattva Siddhanta. Like that. So Narottam, Shamananda and Srinivas, Prabhu, Traya, they adventured mainly for book distribution of the works of the six Goswamis. So the business, our family business of ISKCON, as Prabhupada would say, our primary business of book distribution is so power potent and so beautiful that Narottam, Shamananda and Srinivas themselves came to give the literature. So interestingly, the pastime goes as follows. One time, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur were sitting and having Harikatha. This was under a tree in Jajigram. Even now you can go and see. That tree is still there. When we go for Yatra, that they say, well, under this tree, Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur had Harikatha. Like that. So when they were having Harikatha, Ramchandra Kaviraj, who is a very dear disciple of Srinivas Acharya, who later on became a disciple. So that Ramchandra Kaviraj was getting married. So he was being carried in a palanquin. Narottam and Srinivas Acharya were having Harikatha, and Ramchandra Kaviraj was getting married and moving on a palanquin. So at that time, Srinivas Acharya told Narottam Das Thakur, he's such a nice boy. He can give his life for Krishna. Why is he getting married? Of course, that was a brahmachari class. Srinivas Acharya was giving a brahmachari class to Narottam Das Thakur. Why is Ramchandra Kaviraj getting married? He's going to be stuck in all responsibilities. He should become a devotee and just give his life for Krishna. Now, Ramchandra Kaviraj was such an expert listener. He was being carried in that palanquin, but his ear caught this line of Srinivas Acharya, that why should he get married? Even if he gets married, he should give his life for Krishna. He should just become a devotee, like that. So Ramchandra Kaviraj got married. He went there and told his wife, I give you my dandavat. I give you my obeisances. I want to go and stay with Srinivas Acharya as a Babaji. I want to give my life for Krishna. So he didn't have any seminar, no PowerPoint presentation, nothing. Just one line he heard from the palanquin, that he could become a devotee and give his life for Krishna. So Ramchandra Kaviraj came and started living in the ashram Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya said, hey, why did you come back? I thought you got married. He said, I overheard your Harikatha. So powerful. Just one line, my heart transformed. I want to give my life for Krishna and stay as a Babaji and serve you. Srinivas Acharya said, well, that is not proper because now you're married. You should spend some time with your wife. It's not good to just leave her like that. So he said, so how long should I spend? He said, at least one night. Because Srinivas Acharya wanted to test how pure Ramchandra Kaviraj was. If he had any sense gratificatory desire. So he sent him. He said, you should spend one night with your wife. Now Ramchandra Kaviraj's wife was even more advanced as a devotee. So when Ramchandra Kaviraj came, she gave her dandavat to him. And she said, you're so fortunate. You gave a family life and you went into an ashram. You became a Babaji. Please tell us, what is the nectar that you have learned from your Gurudev? And please pray for me that I also can give my life for Krishna. So then Ramchandra Kaviraj started explaining to his wife about how his ashram life was going. And he looked at the watch, night gone. Sunrise, Brahma Muhurta. They are discussing Harikatha all night. Even Vishwanath Chakravarti, Thakur, got married and his Gurudev sent him. He got married and came back to his Gurudev. He said, no, they forced me into this marriage. I want to be a brahmachari with you. So his Gurudev said, no, you're a grihastha, you should go. At least spend one night. Vishwanath Chakravarti went to his wife and started reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And all night. And it was Brahma Muhurta. And he told his wife, will I have your permission? She said, yeah. May Krishna protect you. Yeah, you can go. really advanced wife. So Vishwanath Chakravarti left. And similarly here, Ramchandra Kaviraj, he came. Spoke to his wife in Brahma Muhurta, so returned back to Srinivas Acharya. He told his, Ramchandra Kaviraj told his wife, I really got to go to my Gurudev. She said, yeah, I will pray to Krishna that you should achieve pure love in one life. Please go. So then he went. Now when he came, Narottam Das Thakur was sweeping that ashram of Srinivas Acharya. So even Narottam Das Thakur is doing menial service. So he was sweeping the ashram with a broom. So Ramchandra Kaviraj walked into the ashram. Narottam Das Thakur said, hey, how come you're walking into the ashram? You're impure. Because he thought that he had some connection with his wife. So he took his broom and just whipped Ramchandra Kaviraj so heavily on the back. So there were whip marks. He kept hitting him. And Ramchandra Kaviraj had the same principle that Daksha is teaching through Lord Shiva. Oh, whatever comes through the hand of a pure Vaishnava is mercy. Yes, keep going. Keep going. Keep giving me danda. So then Narottam Das Thakur hit him and said, you're impure. You shouldn't come here like this. So he said, no problem. I will go back. So he was sitting outside the ashram. Narottam Das Thakur felt, yes, he did his service. In the afternoon, Narottam Das Thakur's service was to oil massage the body of Srinivas Acharya. When he was massaging the body of Srinivas Acharya, the guru of Ramchandra Kaviraj, as he was massaging, he could see those broomstick marks on the back of Srinivas Acharya. So he said, Narottam Das Thakur said, how did you get these whip marks? These broomstick marks? Srinivas Acharya said, oh, during the day you will hit me and evening you're asking me how I got these marks. Hypocrisy. Narottam said, I'm not understanding what you're saying. He said, did you hit anyone today? He said, yeah, I hit that Ramchandra, you know, because he's contaminated. Srinivas said, stop. He's a pure Vaishnava. Do you know what he did there? He was speaking Harikatha all night. He is very pure and he's fit to come here. And he, being my disciple and I being guru, we are one Atma in two bodies. So it's so important that the role of disciple, connection with Sri Guru is like that. One soul, two bodies. So deeply connected. So he said, you hit him, but the marks came on my body. So that day Narottam Das Thakur understood how dear Ramchandra Kaviraj is to Srinivas Acharya. Well, Narottam Das Thakur knows all this, but he's teaching us, all of us, two principles. One, never to judge a Vaishnava on the external. Never. One. Two, one should be a disciple like Ramchandra Kaviraj. Very dear. So much so that the instruction of Guru is the heart of the disciple. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chittete Koriya Aikya. It should be dancing in the heart of the disciple. So that Narottam Das Thakur appeared today in so many beautiful pastimes and so many beautiful songs. On this day, we should pray to Narottam Das Thakur to get that mood, to sing his songs, to chant the prayers of Srimad Bhagavatam, so that following the footsteps of the personified Vedas, we can approach Krishna, Adhokshaja, who cannot be understood by any means. Having said that, can we chant a prayer at the lotus feet of Narottam Das Thakur?
Yeah.
Please repeat. Srimad Gaura Priya Loka,
Srimad Gaura Priya Loka,
Natha Padabja Satpadam,
Natha
Radha Krishna Rason Matta,
Radha Krishna Rason Matta,
Vande Sriman Narottamam,
Vande Sriman Narottamam.
Srimad Gaura Priya, first quality, he is dear to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Loka Natha Padabja Satpadam. He is a bumblebee who is drinking the nectar from the lotus flower of Lokanath Goswami's lotus feet. Third quality, Radha Krishna Rasa Unmatta. He is completely maddened in divine love for Radha and Krishna. With these three qualities, Vande Srimad Narottamam. I bow down to that Narottam Das Thakur who embodies pure devotion. Gaur Premanande. In this presentation, Mataji, if there are any mistakes, please kindly forgive me. I am only 25 years old and trying my bit to serve Srila Prabhupada. So if all the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, if I said something wrong, please come and tell me so that I don't repeat the same mistake in some other congregation. And if there were anything inspiring, it comes from
my Siksha Guru, my Guru Dev, Srila Prabhupada, and our Guru Varga. So we all can remind each other and kindly bless me so that I am engaged in the service of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.